You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
But you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn, it's 7 a.m. Say it in the street, that's a knockout. But you say it in a tweet, that's a cop-out. And I'm just like, hey, are you okay? And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that's stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. So happy you joined us. You know, I'm a little bit thrilled for this episode, is a subtle way to put it. So a lot of people, I get ridiculed for this occasionally. I'm going to be 44 years old this year, but I am a giant Swiftie. I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I have been for many, many years, probably going on about 10 years now, where I would safely call myself a Swiftie. And I found another one. So I got another one to come along with me. Not that it's hard to find them out there, but there's just not a lot of Two Peas listeners that are Taylor Swift super fans. But I did find one, and her name's Caitlin, an actual friend of mine, and she's joining me to gush over Taylor Swift today. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for being here. It means a lot. Like I said, this is probably one of the most near and dear episodes that I'm going to be recording for me personally. Talk about your, real quick, just let everyone know, I mean, what's your super fandom level at when it comes to Taylor?
My friends are so excited that I'm on this so that I don't have to talk to them about Taylor Swift anymore because it's nonstop all the time. Yeah. So she's my age. So when her songs started coming out, basically every song that she writes and every album that she releases, hits me to my heart because it's the same things I'm going through in life usually. Mm-hmm. Usually about boys because we're both boy crazy. Mm-hmm. We both love cats. I love all of her cats. Oh, Meredith Grey, Olivia Benson, and then also Benjamin Button is her newest cat.
Yeah.
But just ever since her songs started coming out, I've just connected with them deeply. And I think we'd be best friends if we ever met, but she doesn't want to meet me for some reason.
That's crazy, right? Yeah.
I know.
So you are you guys the same age, you and Taylor?
Yes, she is. Okay. I'm April 2nd in 1990, and she is December 13th, 1989.
Interesting. Well, I was born in 75, so way before both of you guys. But
well, no, age doesn't matter when it comes to Taylor Swift.
That's true. You know, music is what it is. So how do you feel about, you know, I've gone on other episodes, like other podcasts, and I've talked about Taylor before because I've guested on some other music shows. And like I said, I often get ridiculed. I think it's mostly because of my age. People are a little surprised by it. But how do you feel about like her public persona, like aside from the music? I mean, are you okay with like the drama? Does it kind of entertain you, or do you wish you'd be a little more chill?
I wish she was a little bit more chill. This new stuff with all of her music being, I guess, bought by somebody else. Mm-hmm. I've tried to keep in touch with that. I think she should have handled it a little bit more privately, but I understand what she was going through. I'm very excited that her and Katy have reconnected. And
yeah.
I hope if they went on tour, I would sell my soul for a ticket to see Katy Perry and Taylor Swift in concert together.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that actually a couple weeks ago when I was on one of those shows. I was talking about a show called Playlist, and we talked about our pop songs from the last 10 years. And I don't want to mention it because yes, it'll probably come up today, but I named one of her tunes. And, you know, I said that their kind of take on it was that everything she does is like a publicity stunt. I don't think that's the case. I think she just comes out and says stuff without maybe thinking about it first. And of course, everything she says is public.
Yes.
So many millions of people see it like immediately. So I loved when she brought Katy Perry over to her new video and like they kind of had like, yeah, it was great. I mean, they made up on social media and
yes,
it was just awesome. I didn't see that so much as a publicity stunt as just like, you know, that was just them saying, okay, we're good now. Like, there's no reason for you guys to keep talking about our drama. It doesn't exist anymore.
Well, being the same age as her, I love that Katy Perry sent her an actual olive branch.
Mm-hmm.
So, but being the same age as her, so her Reputation album and how kind of like dark it went, and now that her new album is about like forgiving and love, it's also it's at the age we're at. So like when she was writing about all these boys, so a lot of that kind of gave her a reputation of just dating around.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 24, I was also dating around because you're young and you're you're single and that's what you do. So that's what she wrote about. And she had a lot of boyfriends because that's what girls do. Mm-hmm. Boys do it as well. But the older that she gets and how like her music is, how her metamorphosis of this album is, it's just her age. And I think forgiving is, that's what happens when you get older and you're younger, you have more drama. It's just, that's how life goes.
Yeah.
And she just happens to be in the public eye. And so people talk about it more. But I guarantee you, if my life was in the public eye, people would think I'm crazy.
Exactly.
So it's just what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's like, you know, she does something, she's Taylor Swift. You know, we do something, maybe five people know about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, not that she's doing anything unusual. It's just on such a, like, under a microscope, you know?
Yeah. But if you're going to have time to judge her, you should also have time to listen to her music as well, is what I tell my friends.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you know about her drama, then maybe you should listen to her music.
Yeah, because because the drama doesn't play into the music, in my opinion. The lyrical content is what it is, regardless of what she's doing in her personal life, you know, behind closed doors, so to speak. Okay, yeah, so I agree, Caitlin. I mean, very well said. I mean, I love Taylor. You know, it's funny that I asked you that because I actually kind of enjoy the drama a little bit. I'm a reality TV buff as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of entertaining to me. I do, you know, feel bad for her sometimes because I feel like she's only saying what's on her mind and everything just gets so dissected, you know?
Yes.
But nevertheless, I love her. I love her music first and foremost. And that's what we're here to talk about today. So like I said, I was able to get another Swiftie to join me. Guys, we're going to count down our top five Taylor Swift songs. You know, Taylor's been putting out music for a long time, almost 20 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And she's got a great catalog. She started out, you know, with her country roots, and she still kind of has that a little bit, but she transitioned into pop probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, where it was pretty much everything she was putting out was in the pop world. And I love all of it, to be honest. And it's ironic because I'm not even a country music fan, but I do love her country stuff. I think Mace, probably because of the lyrical content more than anything. So what, when you were coming up with your list, Caitlin, I mean, what was this easy for you? Or were you just like, oh, these are my five favorite? Or was it like excruciating to like figure out what five you're going to talk about?
Excruciating, because I had way more than five. And my order, they're not in any order because I can't really pick a number one. It just depends on the day that I'm listening to it. Mm. No, it was very difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
And I forgot how many songs I knew every single word to until I went on and just listened to everything. And I'm a nanny. So the little girl I nanny for, she's like, you know all of this stuff. Like, girl, let me tell you what.
Yeah, you know, my daughter is 17. She's going to be 18 in a couple months. She's going to college this month, actually. And she was a Taylor fan. She, you know, I really credit her to kind of getting me into her more hardcore a while back, probably about 10 years ago. Because she was like 8 or 9 years old and she's a Taylor fan. And I'm like, you know, this is actually really good. And so it was cool that we share that artist together, and she's still a fan of her today, even though she's kind of gravitating more towards like indie rock and indie hip hop and stuff that would be, you know, quote unquote cool to listen to. Whereas a lot of people may not consider Taylor in that category, but she stays true to her fandom as well. So it's really cool to share it with her. And in a roundabout way, she kind of introduced me and kind of was the gateway for me to become a Swiftie, you know, so that's kind of cool too that I get to share that with my daughter.
Well, if she's getting into indie music, didn't Ryan Adams do a whole cover of 1989?
He did. And he's got some issues in personal life too.
Yeah,
he's a little questionable.
He's not the best person in the whole world, but he did do the 1989 album.
You know, so. And he's a singer-songwriter, and he recommended how special the lyrics on that album were. And I think that's her masterpiece. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more as the episode goes on. So her album, Lover's, coming out the week that this episode is being released. So I'm doing it in conjunction with her new album. I'm very excited for it. I've heard 3 songs off of the new album thus far. All of them are different. They're very different. And I like that. I think it's going to be a very diverse, unique album for her. What's your excitement level for Lover?
I'm thrilled. So my fiance is going to be out of town. He'll be at Lock-In, actually, listening to his music. But I'm having my 2 best friends over, and we're having a listening party, and we're going to order pizza and drink some wine, and we're going to listen to the whole album, and I'm so excited.
Nice. I love it.
I am thrilled. I made an open invitation on Facebook, and nobody has responded yet.
Oh, crap.
But We'll see.
Oh, crap.
We'll see. I know my two best friends are coming.
Dude, I have to take a look at that. Are you doing it on the day that it's released?
I was going to do it on Friday, but I may do it on Saturday and go to the pool and bring my speaker and just do a pool party.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay, yeah. So I'll tell you what. We're going to count down our top five Taylor Swift songs. So any song that she's released in her career is eligible from, you know, way, way back in the country days up until the new ones that I was just mentioning. So I'm interested to see where you go. I was just actually looking through my list before we started chatting, and I realize I'm a little biased in one direction that I'll talk about when I get there. But you want to get us started? You want to give your number five Taylor song? You can start us off, Caitlin.
Yes. So my number five is Tim McGraw, which is one of her first, I think it was her first radio song on the radio. And the reason it hits home for me, you're familiar with Charlotte. I was sitting on Runnymede and Selwyn, that intersection, and I was crying, bawling in my car because my boyfriend had just broken up with me to go to college. And then I heard Tim McGraw, which is exactly what her song is about. And that was when I just, that day, that moment, it was raining, crying my mom's blue convertible bug. I heard that song and I just, it hit home. And it's also very much of a, if you don't remember, if you do, Strawberry Wine by Dina Carter.
I do, yeah.
It's very, very reminiscent of that song about how she goes back and leaves the letter and how Dina Carter goes back to like the strawberry wine fields. I don't know, that just, that was my number, I think that may be my number one. And it's just perfect, like, you know when you're sad and you need to hear a sad song?
Yeah. You think Tim McGraw, I hope you think my favorite song, the one we dance to all night long, the moon like a spotlight on the lake. When you think happiness, I hope you think that little black dress, think of my head on your chest, and my old faded blue jeans. When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me.
It just totally lives up to it.
You know, I used a little interesting kind of connection there. I used to live off Selwyn. I lived off, my sister and I had a house off of Selwyn Avenue, off of Sewickley Court, which is right off of Selwyn Avenue, right before you get to Runnymede. So, cool. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously country Taylor, and that's obviously old school. I wanted to get a little country representation in my list, too, so I have one coming up later. But that's your number five, Tim McGraw. Good pick, good pick, and that's classic Taylor. So my number five is interesting because this, I credit this song with being like the song that kind of went from country Taylor to pop Taylor. I feel like this was the song that really crossed her over. She had played with it a little bit before, but those albums were still considered country. Like if you look them up on iTunes, for example, they're listed under country. If you look up this album on iTunes, it's also listed under country, but half the album is in is undisputably pop. So this song really blew up for her. It was a number one hit for her. And like I said, it was really her first quote-unquote pop single, even though she had some other stuff on pop radio. But it's from Red, which is one of my favorite albums. And it's We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is my number five.
I remember when we broke up the first time, saying this is it, I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Ooh, 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 ooh. We called it off again last night, but ooh, 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 ooh. This time, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we are never, ever, ever getting back.
This is just a song that it encourages you to sing along. It is a catchy tune, right? I mean, you know, and it's so funny because I was talking about the lyrical content. This one, there's not a lot of that. I mean, it's not a very deep tune with a lot of substance. It's just a lot of fun. The video is so much fun, and it's our introduction to pop Taylor, which is my favorite version of her. And I just love it. I mean, it's just so fun to sing along to. It's a really short tune, and it's just really catchy. It's a tune that I continue to jam out to this day. I have not gotten tired of it. So We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is my number five. How you feel about that one? Is that coming up later for you? I don't want to...
It's not on my list. Okay. Red is one of my favorite albums. It's definitely a slower album. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of when she introduced her new look as well, which I loved. But this song is one of my favorites. It took me about 6 months to get that timing right, when she says, like ever.
Yes.
It took me 6 months to get that timing right.
Yes. And, you know, she's done that in other songs. But to what we were talking about earlier, she's incorporating a little bit of her kind of dramatic reputation into the song there. And she does it with a couple other ones, too, that may or may not come up today. But I like how she does that. It's almost like she breaks the fourth wall, kind of, like if it was a movie, you know. But, yes, I agree with you. I do love that, like, ever.
You know, and it's awesome. And it's very similar to You Need to Calm Down, kind of the way that she's singing. It's the same kind of rhythm.
Right.
No, and that is a great song. My twin sister and I have sang that in the car a lot.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we break up. I hate you. I love you. It's just like all these different emotions that are 180s with each other back to back to back, you know, and it's just it kind of like her persona coming through in a pop tune. And I really liked it. So that's my number five.
Yeah.
So that swings us over to you. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Do you have something?
I was going to say, and that was in 2012. So think about it. She was 22. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do when you're 22. That's how you date people.
Right. You don't know what you're doing yet.
Exactly.
So that swings us over to you for your number four, Caitlin. What do you got?
So I can't pick any order. I would say Mean from Speak Now. You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me, you have knocked me off my feet again. Got me feeling like a nothing, you. With your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded, you. Picking on the weaker man. You can take me down with just one single blow. But you don't know what you don't know. Someday I'll be living in a big old city. And all you're ever gonna be is mean. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me. And all you're gotta be so mean. It is one of my friend Taylor and I, we listen to it all the time, and Sarah. It is just a great breakup song. It's kind of going back to her country roots. It was 2010, so it was still country, and she was playing the banjo. And this is when my brother started to love Taylor Swift, because he's a big ukulele and banjo and that kind of music fan. He loves the Avett Brothers. Mm-hmm. And when he heard this, he was just so amazed by her talent. Mm-hmm. I think the video was great. That is one of the best breakup songs ever. It makes you feel good about yourself if you're really, really mad at the guy, and he really is just kind of a jerk. You have a song that represents it,
right?
And it helps you address, like, hey, maybe this guy really is just not a nice person, and it helps you, it builds you up. And I love that she goes into talking about how the jerk guy is sitting at a bar talking over some football team. Mm-hmm. And we all know those guys that just sit at the bar and don't care about your feelings and will just blab on about anything related to sports. And Taylor Swift totally got that. She nailed it.
I agree. And you're sticking kind of with the country theme, which is cool. Are you generally speaking a country music fan? I'm just curious.
No. Yes, I am. I'm a huge country fan. Okay. But I have some other ones on here. But that was my problem, is the more I went down the list, the more I remember just, I guess those are the songs. Also, I saw these songs in concert. These are the concerts mm-hmm. I've been to.
Okay, I got you.
So that's a great tune. Actually make a difference.
It's a great tune. You know, I originally had 18 songs when I just off the top of my head started typing out all the songs that I would say were my favorite. And these are the ones that just came to mind, you know? And Mean was one of the ones. My daughter helped me narrow my list down to 10 songs and it didn't make the cut. I think it's probably because she wasn't as huge of a country Taylor fan as she is of a pop Taylor fan.
Yeah.
But that's a great song. I love that song. It was on my initial list. So my number four is also, I guess this would be considered country Taylor, but it's right before she started to have that kind of turn into pop. But it's one of her biggest singles, one of her biggest hits, definitely early on from Fearless, is You Belong With Me, is my number four. Just a classic. I mean, again, she's kind of singing about her age here. And this is a song about, you know, she has a crush on this dude and he wants to be with a girl that's completely wrong for him, or that she suspects is wrong for him, and completely different than she is. You know, she's kind of a dork. You know, I wear t-shirts, she wears short skirts. You know, I'm in the band, I'm really dorky wearing glasses in the school band, and she's the head cheerleader. And I love the video, how she plays both roles, kind of like the evil twin, you know, in the video is really cool. Know your story. She wears short skirts. So that's one of my favorite Taylor songs. It's a fun jam, but it's also very sentimental. The video is just an all-time classic. People recognize it to this day. So You Belong With Me is my number four.
I love, and I also love that video because that's when she started kind of creating her characters.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So in Look What You Made Me Do, that video, I think it's that video that she has all of her characters lined up in the end.
Yeah, she does.
Yes, and that was the one of them that was in the end, and it's kind of the start to her creating different looks for her videos.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But that is a great, great song.
Yeah, I love it.
That's great video too.
One of my favorites. All right, so we're getting down to the nitty gritty, our top three Taylor Swift songs. I don't know how we're going to do this, but I guess we'll figure it out. So what's your number three, Caitlin?
So mine, I'm going kind of out of order because I'm just looking at my notes, but Blank Space.
Okay, good.
By far, Blank Space is one of the best songs ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's full of one-liners that I think are great. And I love that one of her lines gets mixed up. Where is it? It is when she says, "I got a long list of ex-lovers."
Right.
A lot of people thought it was about Starbucks. I got a long list of Starbucks lovers.
I know it's a meme now. You can like do the Starbucks lovers meme and have Taylor like her like lip syncing that or whatever.
Yes, I think the video is fantastic. I love that she calls herself crazy. She's kind of addressing the rumors about her being boy crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. In the video, I was watching the video yesterday, and the little girl I nanny for, she's six, and she was like, "Why is she beating up that boy's car? Why is she so mad at him?" And I said, "I have a feeling that that boy is texting somebody else."
Right,
and we've all had that feeling. We've all had that feeling.
Right.
But I think it has some of the best lines in that song.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to be talking about it later. So we have our first crossover. So I don't want to get too deep into it now, but I do. No. I'll just say that it's a great pick and that I absolutely love that song. It's also off my favorite album of hers, but we'll talk about that here in a minute. So my number three is another one of her giant hits. And this is after the turn to pop, in my opinion. You know, half of the Red album is country, in my opinion, and the other half is pop. This is a pop tune, and it was probably her first giant quote-unquote pop single. I Knew You Were Trouble is my number three.
Once upon a time, a few mistakes ago, I was in your sights, you got me alone. You found me, you found me, you found me. I guess you didn't care, and I guess I liked that. And when I fell hard, you took a step back without.
How you feel about that one?
I think that's a great one.
Yeah, this is, I feel like this came, did this come around in the same time when she was dating Harry Styles? I think it happened.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people presume that it was kind of about him, you know, you're flying me places I've never been and that kind of thing, which you find hard to believe as Taylor Swift and she's never been anywhere, but I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, right.
But this is another video that's like a freaking movie, you know, it's just, it's so memorable, you know, and it's a different version of Taylor, like you were saying. I want to say she has like almost brunette hair in this video, which you obviously don't see in her persona very often. And she's, you know, one of the lines I love in this, it's kind of what we were talking about earlier with my daughter, to be honest, but one of the lines I love in this song is that, you know, you wanted to listen to an indie record that was much cooler than mine, you know, and it's, it's like, okay.
Oh, no, I think this is about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, Gyllenhaal. That actually makes sense, too.
Yeah, I think it's Jake Gyllenhaal or maybe John Mayer. It's all around the same time.
Right. Flip a coin, I guess.
Some hotties.
Yeah, she didn't discriminate against that.
I can't really remember, but yeah.
But no, I just love it. I mean, just because, again, she's kind of like poking fun of herself. She has a very high level of self-awareness. that I think is really cool. She's very confident in like where she is musically, but also where she stands like in the public eye. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is a very pop driven, catchy tune that she was able to say a lot of things in to get a message out as well, because it spread, you know, she kind of blew up after this. So I love it. I mean, to this day, I rock out to this tune. It's a great song, and it's a little country, a little pop, you know, so which Taylor is in general. So I like it a lot. So I Knew You Were Trouble from Red is my number three. So we're up to our runner ups. Feeling good here. Only one crossover that I know of so far. What's your runner up? What's your number two?
My number two is Style. That was on 1989, which yes. I think is her best album by far.
Yes.
I actually bought 1989 for myself on iTunes, RIP iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend bought it for me and sent it to me. And then my mom also sent it to me all on the same day. So then I re-gifted it out on iTunes. But Style, I don't have a lot of notes on it. Just when I was playing it on my phone, it hits hard. It's a really good bop. I love the James Dean look and the red lip. I love all the lines. Mm-hmm. It just described her style great. And it's about two super, super attractive people that just can't help but be with each other.
Right.
It's a good song.
And you're right. I do like that tune. It's in my top 10, but it didn't make my top five. But I do love that song because it is almost a song about her style and about mm-hmm. her kind of image. Do you know what I mean?
I should just tell you to leave because I know exactly where it leads, but I watch us go round and round each time. You got that James Dean daydream look in your eye, and I got that red lip classic thing that you like, and then we go crashing down. We come back every time, cause we never go out of style. We never go out of style. You got that long hair, slick back, white t-shirt, and I got that good girl fake and a tight little skirt, and when we go crashing down, we come back every time, cause we never go out of style. We never go out of style. So it goes.
But yeah. At the same time, it's about the infatuation that they have with each other, and there's a couple really, really good covers of that tune too that you should look up on YouTube. It's been covered quite a few times actually by like YouTube artists and like indie musicians.
I need to do that.
And we were talking about Ryan Adams too, and I mean, people recognize like, wow, she really wrote this is a great album, this is a great mm-hmm. song or whatever, and Style is one of those. So great pick. So listen, my runner-up, we're getting close. So you were just talking about Style off of 1989, and my top two are off of 1989. So I mentioned at the top of the show how I'm kind of biased here because that is by far my favorite album of hers.
Yes.
It is an absolute masterpiece, cover to cover. Every song, I mean, my top five could have been all songs from 1989. I love that album. So my number two I'm going to choose is a very subdued, almost like love ballad that's very sensual, but it's a song called Wildest Dreams is my number two. This is off of 1989, and this is a song about a love affair, and I guess it's, you know, kind of the interpretation of the perception of the listener, but the video would also kind of tell that. But it takes us back to a simpler time, and it's about, you know, not saying that a love affair is not taboo today, but we're in the age of social media now and, you know, the TV show Cheaters and everything else. But, you know, it takes us back to a simpler time when, you know, people would have mistresses and it was a very like romanticized type of thing, you know.
No one has to know what we do. His hands are in my hair, his clothes are in my room, and his voice is a familiar sound. Nothing lasts forever, but this is getting good now. He's so tall and handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. And when we've had our very last kiss, my last request is...
And yeah. I assume you've seen the video for this, right?
I'm getting it mixed up with Style.
Yeah, Wildest Dreams is the one with Clint Eastwood's son in it, and
oh my god,
and it's the 1920s like video or movie premiere.
I think she's supposed to be kind of like Liz Taylor in that video with the dark hair.
Right.
I think that's what she's trying to go for. But yeah. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was getting confused with Style, which some people thought was supposed to be Wildest Dreams.
Yeah, Wildest Dreams. I mean, Say You'll Remember Me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say You'll See Me Again, even if it's just in our wildest dreams. So they're on this, in the video at least, but this could be, you know, anybody that's had kind of a love affair that didn't last is the best way to put it, I guess. But, you know, they're on this movie set together in the 20s. You get the impression it's the 20s or the 30s, long time ago, and old Hollywood, if you will. And they know that when the movie wraps, that's it. Like, we can't be together, you know, and it's a very sensual, it's sexy, it's like, it's a very in the moment song, and I feel like anybody at least of a certain age has had those relationships that are very short lived, that you know, like, this isn't gonna last forever, but this is what it is at the moment, and it's really good, you know, and it just kind of goes away for whatever the reason may be. So I love the song. I feel like it's deep, and like I said, it's really sexy, it's really sensual, and it's a very subdued, like, mellow tune that broke onto pop radio too, which I appreciate. So that's my number two, Wildest Dreams. All right, and we're up to our number ones, guys. So already kind of gave a bit of a spoiler alert that mine's going to be off of 1989, but let's go ahead and get yours first. So what's your number one Taylor Swift tune?
Love Story, by far.
Classic.
So it came out in 2008. I remember the first time I heard it, I was in a sorority, short-lived sorority. It was like me and about 30 other girls listening to this song. And I was trying to convince everybody, like, just listen to Taylor Swift, like I always do with anybody that I meet.
Of course.
And Love Story came on and everybody fell in love with it. The video is like prime Taylor, just with, like, running through a field in like a Shakespearean style dress and about not being able to be with the one you love. It is by far one of the best. And it's also the song that my sister became in love with Taylor Swift over. I was listening in the car with her and she's like, oh, this song's stupid. And then she heard the end when he says, marry me.
Right.
And she just like just got weak in the knees from that. It's one of the best songs ever. It's happy. I love every single thing about that song.
I do too. Classic Taylor. It's got to be one of her most recognizable tunes. You know, I DJ weddings on the weekends, which you know, and there's a really, really beautiful string quartet instrumental version of the song that I often suggest for brides to walk into.
That's got to be great.
Or for their bridal party to walk into. And what's interesting is, like, when I play it for people, and this proves my point about Taylor's, like, quote-unquote reputation in the public eye, because when I play it for people and they hear it, they're like, oh my god, this is like the most amazing piece of music, like, yes, we have to have this. And then when they know it's Taylor Swift's Love Story, they're kind of like turned off by it. I'm just kind of like, you already answered right, you already answered your question, like, this is amazing, like, you know. So that's my point, is like, if you're able to separate the music from what we know of her in the public eye, I feel like it can be perceived so much differently. And that's why I love, like I was mentioning, Wildest Dreams, because it takes takes you back to a simpler time, and that's a tune, I'm talking about Wildest Dreams, that's a tune that you can hear and not right away know it's Taylor Swift. You know, it just sounds like a different era and it has a different vibe to it. You know, Love Stories, on the flip side, your number one is, I mean, everybody in the world knows that's Taylor Swift because that's one of her most recognizable tunes.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that it's just so beautiful and haunting and just, it's like a Romeo and Juliet. I mean, she even says that in the song, you know, and it follows that kind of narrative until you get to the end and know they don't kill themselves, they end up together.
Yeah,
so,
and also, it is a love story. Romeo and Juliet in itself, I mean, growing up watching Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio and that, like, it just makes you think of that as well. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, I love that song.
Well, look, that's a great list. I'm going to have you wrap it up for everyone here in a second. So, but before you do that, now my number one may not come as a shock to you now that I've given a little bit of a insight into what it might be, but you've already mentioned it. But Blank Space is my number one Taylor Swift song.
My next mistake, love's a game, wanna play. New money, suit and tie, I can read you like a magazine. Ain't it funny, rumors fly, and I know you heard about me. So hey, let's be friends, I'm dying to see how this one ends. Grab your passport and my hand, I can make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far. It'll leave you breathless, or with a nasty scar. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. But I've got a blank space, baby, and I'll write your name.
I mean, a lot of reasons. It's my favorite album. 1989 is my favorite album. I feel like this and Wildest Dreams are the best tunes on that album. That's my personal opinion. Blank Space blew up for her. It got overplayed on radio and things like that. I won't argue with that, but I'm only looking at the piece of work that it is, right? And the piece of music that it is. So what I love about this song is that there was a buildup over several years, and we've been talking about it on this episode because it's inevitable, but there was a buildup for several years where Taylor was fighting back against the reputation that she was kind of being perceived in the public eye. And she was kind of like always having that battle of, you know, like kind of like the paparazzi perception or whatever you want to call it. So this song, she just lets loose and she basically is like, look, I'm a crazy bitch. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like I will date you, but in a month from now, you're going to be like, what the hell did I get myself into? You know? And she writes a song about that. And I'm sure there are dudes that heard it and go, yeah, that's accurate. That's 100%. But they would not, you know, trade the time that they have with Taylor, I'm sure, you know. And guys can say whatever they want, but there's a little bit of, like, we're attracted to the crazy ones, you know.
Also,
and
why do you think we're crazy? You guys.
Exactly, right. I don't doubt it, you know. I know I drive my wife crazy, so I'm not going to argue with you. But, you know, do you see what I mean? It's like she just said, okay, guys, here I am. I'm nuts. You guys are right. And I'm not only am I going to say you're right, but I'm going to write one of my biggest hits ever about it. And my favorite line that Taylor has ever written, which I feel like encapsulates her kind of persona in the last at least 5 years, is where she says, darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream.
That's in my notes and I forgot to say it.
I absolutely was like floored by that line the first time I heard it and was just like, oh my God, that is so good. Because that's her, you know what I mean? That's her kind of, or at least the way she's being perceived, you know what I mean? And she embraced it and she wrote a song about it and it ended up being one of her biggest hits. It still is. The video, again, is a freaking movie, dude. Directed by Joseph Kahn, who's actually a filmmaker that does a lot of great work. And it's just great because you see that sweet Taylor, like, oh, you know, I'm going to bake you cookies and we can hold hands and everything's great. And then the second half of the video, she's literally crying with like mascara running on her face. And like you said, she's beating the car with a golf club. And like, you know, but this ain't, you're attracted to her just as much. Like, It's like, yeah, you know,
she's
what the
still
hell?
Amazing.
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, this is great, you know, but at the same time, you're like, this would be restraining order material, you know? So yeah. I don't know. It's, she just really embraced it and was just able to suck you in, you know, and she gained a lot of new fans off of this tune, you know, and that album, 1989, which I've already said is her masterpiece, in my opinion. So I hope Lover can match it. Reputation didn't for me. I love Reputation, but it was a very kind of like almost like a dark kind of gothic Taylor, which I enjoyed. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And there's a tune on my honorable mentions from that album, but it didn't match 1989 for me. So we'll see what go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
That's why I'm looking forward to Lover, because in the beginning of the Me video with the snake from Reputation turning into butterflies, mm-hmm. I'm hoping she mm-hmm. goes back to Happy Taylor, which is what she her album art clearly is. Mm-hmm. And she's been in a relationship for a couple years now with a British actor. I think his name is Joe.
I'm not sure.
But they've been together for a while, and I think it's going to reflect in her album. I think it's just going to be happy. I hope.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Reputation was just it was a little dark.
It was. I loved it. I mean, I stayed up till midnight to watch Look What You Made Me Do, which was the first single when I knew she was going to be. And I mean, I was wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Do you know what I mean? So
some people hated it.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I loved it.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, I was there for it. You know what I mean? I was there for kind of like dark Taylor. But I feel like if that continued for like a decade, I'd be like, okay, dude, like, let's get you some therapy. Let's chill out. Yeah. Like, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? But one or two albums here
coffee,
and there. Like,
calm down.
Right. But I was there for it. I just don't want that to like be her persona forever. Do you know what I mean? That's not the artist that she is. Kind of like you said, she's all about love and fun and everything. So it looks like she's going back to that direction. So before, real quick, do you have your five there in the order that you gave them to me? Do you want to wrap them up for everyone real quick? Your five through one? What were they again?
Tim McGraw. This is not in the same order, but Tim McGraw, Blank Space, Mean, Style, and Love Story. Love Story is number one, though.
Yeah, I try to do the top five, you know what I mean? So you did you did Tim McGraw as five, Mean was four, Blank Space was three, Style was your number two, and your one was Love Story. My top five was We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, You Belong With Me, I Knew You Were Trouble, Wildest Dreams, and Blank Space was my number one. So before we head over to social media, we had frankly, I was shocked. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if you saw on our Facebook fan page, but we had a ton of feedback for this topic. And I was at a movie when I put it up there originally. And I think I told my wife, I'm like, I'm not going to get any, because we get a lot of feedback, but I'm like, I'm going to get like two people. But we had like over 30 comments over there. So we'll go over and read some of those in a moment. But before we do, did you have any honorable mentions? You know, I usually round out my top 10. So I have five honorable mentions. Did you have any that didn't make your top five that you want to talk about real quick?
I'll just list them.
Okay.
Because I didn't really take a lot of notes. Bad Blood, of course. That video is amazing. Addressing all of the drama with all of her friends, especially Carly Kloss, which I thought Dress was about. The song Dress is apparently about Carly Kloss.
I didn't know that.
Mine on Speak Now. I also like Enchanted on Speak Now. It's very haunting.
Yep,
Enchanted is a great song. Call It What You Want To. And then also Sparks Fly.
Good ones. All really good. Yep. And not a lot of crossover with the rest of my list, to be honest. So my number six you mentioned is your number one, Love Story, would have been my number six. My number seven is a bit of a rare gem. It's a kind of a hidden gem. A lot of people don't talk about it, but I love it. It's a tune called New Romantics.
Oh, I love that one because it was extra on 1989.
It was like a bonus track.
Yes.
But I love that song so much, and it actually got released as a single for a little while, and I was so happy. My number eight you mentioned already would have been Style. There you go. My number nine would have been Our Song. Maybe her first like giant country song. Our Song as a slam and swing door. Love that tune. And then my number 10 we talked about a little bit would have been Look What You Made Me Do. I had to throw in a little bit of Dark Taylor. And when that came out, that was just like a revenge song that she was just like ready to throw down. And I just remember I was one of those people hearing it for the first time at midnight at that release and just like having my hand on my mouth going, oh my God, like she's literally snapping right now. Like I'm scared. You know what I mean? But it was just so awesome at the same time. So that would have rounded out my top 10. And like I said, I had 18, but I'm not going to dive too deep into them. So I tell you what, if you're cool with it, Caitlin, let's head over to social media real quick. Because like I said, we had a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
So this is a segment we call the suggestion box. And I just want to see, there's a lot that we didn't mention. So I just want to see what you think about some of these. So let's see. So my buddy, Josh Hallmark, who was, he's the host of the show I was talking about earlier, Playlist. And he made fun of me for my Taylor. Like, I've gone on his show a bunch. And the last two times I've been on there, I've mentioned Taylor. And the first one I did was Wildest Dreams. No surprise there. And then the last time I went on, I talked about Blank Space. And he's always giving me shit about it, you know, because he's in New York and he's like an indie rock guy or whatever. So,
well, he can get over it.
I know. He's like, come on, bro. Like, so anyway, he says, Shake It Off is a genuine hit, but I will forever deny saying that. And I said, too late. I've already screen printed this and it's going to be on a T-shirt. So Josh is not only mentioning it, but he's getting shouted out in the episode. So Shake It Off. How do you feel about Shake It Off? I mean, that was like a world. That was a phenomenon, right? Are you kind of over that tune or do you still bop to that?
I'm kind of over it. Yeah. I mean, I've still turned it up in my car, like, but it's not something that I will go and like choose to play.
Right.
But it just got a little overplayed for me.
It did. It still does. You know, I DJ weddings, and this is my guilty pleasure for being able to play Taylor at weddings, because I will always be able to play her now thanks to Shake It Off. Because this is literally, I feel like this was literally written to be like a dance song, like, you know, at a wedding. I'm not trying to be funny.
I completely agree with that.
I'm not trying to be funny, but this will always is always a big hit at a wedding, and I know that I'm able to kind of sneak Taylor in there because of it. Let's see. Tony Dobbish over on the Facebook page says, I knew you were trouble and Shake It Off. The volume is always turned up and I'm singing along. So there you go. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Michael Hill, who's been on the show before, has got a good top five here. So here's his five. Why You Gotta Be So Mean. Teardrops on My Guitar, we didn't mention.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's up there with Tim McGraw as far as like early breakup Taylor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. You Belong With Me, Love Story, and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. It's his top five.
Let's see.
Yep. Ashley, here's her top five is great too. She's got Blank Space, Bad Blood, 22, Our Song, and Mean. We didn't mention 22. What she did, was it 15 that she did? She did 15 and she did 22, right? Or was it 13? 13.
It was 15. 13 is her favorite number. 15 is about her friend who still goes to like award shows with her.
Right.
And then 22, yes. That was in 2012. So that was...
It was just an anthem. It's just an anthem for being that age. That's literally what it was. You know,
that was on Red too.
It was, yeah. I love that song. So Chrissy McQueen from So I Married a Movie Geek over in Cali, she shares the kind of the Taylor. I don't even like using the term guilty pleasure, but like people say that or whatever. So she shares that with me, but she says, "Oh my God, I'm so here for this." Her top five are Shake It Off, Delicate. That's a great one that we didn't mention. Delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Dress, which you did mention, is a great song. New Year's Day. I love New Year's Day. Another 1989 tune. And then she said that her five is a tie between Blank Space and Wildest Dreams, which were my favorite too. So another, that's a very 1989. In fact, all of those are 1989.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chrissy realizes that, but I just realized that those are all 1989. So
didn't Taylor also write every single lyric for 1989? Like, I think she was the only writer for 1989.
She was, to my knowledge. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Hannah from Boozy Movies has got Our Song, Wildest Dreams, Bad Blood, 22, and Shake It Off. And then let's scoot down here. I'll just mention a couple more. Lauren, who's been on the show before, she's over in Walt Disney World, a giant Disney fanatic. She's got a couple on here that are kind of like rare gems that I wanted to mention. So her list, she said she can never only give five when she gives suggestions to us. So she has a lot here. I'll just run through them real quick. She says, Long Live. Oh, what a good song. Long Live is a, God, it's so good. Tied Together with a Smile, Sparks Fly, Treacherous.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Treacherous, Red, I Know Places. I love I Know Places. That one almost made my list. And then Ready For It. That's another good Reputation tune that starts off that album. She started the tour with that song. That is a bop that gets you ready. Ready For It, Eyes Open, Dear John, and Tim McGraw round out her list. And then the last one I'm going to mention today, because it's my wife. Okay, so my wife never gives feedback, but she's a bit of a Taylor super fan too. So the only one that she listed, and it got me like a little choked up because I went back and watched the video, The Best Day. You know the song The Best Day?
Oh yeah, that's a great song and great video.
That is a great one. It's basically a tribute to her mother.
Yes.
And she sings about how much she loves her mom. And the video is a lot of throwback auditions of hers when she was young and her mom taking her to those auditions and, you know, family pictures at Christmas. And like, it's a very touching tribute to her mother. And I was like, oh God, yeah, you really got me with that one. So, and then how about I know I said it was going to be my last one, but I was so thrilled with this. My buddy Brandon in Boston gave his list, and I'm going to save the kind of the plot twist for the very end that I thought was so awesome. But his five are Bad Blood, Shake It Off, Wildest Dreams, You Belong With Me, and then Last Christmas. And he said plot twist.
Oh, yeah.
Her Christmas album is good. Christmas Is When You Were Mine. You know that one or not?
Mm-hmm.
If not, yeah. You need to get it immediately and listen to it in August because it's amazing.
So I was going through, this is a while ago, they had Taylor Swift's top 200 songs in order.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the ones at the bottom were Christmas songs. But I heard them a lot when I worked in retail. They were put on a lot of Christmas retail songs, like CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of, it wasn't super famous, like Jingle Bells, it was off brand. So I think it was a little cheaper to play in retail, but I heard all of them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. And I totally agree.
Yeah. And she has a couple originals on that album too. And Christmas Is When You Were Mine is one of them. And it's a really good, I mean, it's almost like it's not even a Christmas song. It's just like it's another song of her reflecting on relationships and stuff and sharing Christmas with this dude that I assume she was with, whoever that may have been. But yeah. So Last Christmas, I love, I mean, that her version of that might be my favorite version of that song, and that's an all-time Christmas tune. So I thought it was awesome that somebody named that, and it got a little shout out there. So that's it. That was our top five Taylor Swift songs. How do you feel, Caitlin? You feel good? That was fun.
I feel great. Now I just need to go listen to Taylor Swift when I get done with it.
Me too.
Anyway,
I'm going to tag her on Twitter, and the chance that she listens to this is so slim. But if she does, please comment to Caitlin and I, Taylor, because we will freak out if you do.
I'll cry.
I mean, I will literally break down and stop doing the show.
Yes.
I'll never have anything to live for ever again. So
nope,
please.
Never again.
But Caitlin, it means so much to me that you were able to get together with me today. I'm a huge Taylor fan. And, you know, I didn't even know she was going to be releasing this album like, I don't know, like 6 months ago. And I was like wanting to do this because, you know, we do a top five show and occasionally we'll do artists that my partner and I share. Like we did an Elton John episode. We love him. And we did a Justin Timberlake episode. And every once in a while we'll do an artist and just do like our top five songs from that artist. But he doesn't have enough like base knowledge of like Taylor's. I mean, he likes her, but he doesn't like have an intimate knowledge of her catalog. And so I was like asking around then. I'm like, this is like 6 months ago. I'm like, does anybody want to do it? And just crickets. Like nobody.
I'm in. This is what I do all day. Like with
nobody
anybody.
Responded to me. Yeah. And then I saw you because we're friends on Facebook and we've known each other for a while. And then I saw you sharing some stuff about her new album. I'm like, oh, shit. She's a fan. Let me see if she wants to do this. So it means so much to me that you decided to do it and you did great. And I love your list. And I'm going to make a Spotify playlist. I do that for all of the music episodes, by the way. So I'll share it with you. But it'll be our 20 or however many songs, depending on if we crossed over, it'll be all the songs that we put on our list. So I'll share that with you. We'll get to, you know, kind of inadvertently listen to Taylor together. So I'm excited for that. And thank you so much for doing it. And you don't want to tell anybody where to find you on social media or anything? Are you on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that? Or
no, because I can't remember my passwords to get on. I keep getting locked out. I am on Facebook.
Awesome.
I follow you.
Okay.
But one more suggestion, though, to you.
Yes.
If you ever have a Katy Perry top five,
okay,
I can equally contribute. And also, just my fun fact for the day, if you don't know what Katy Perry's cat's name is, it's Kitty Purry, just so you
I
know.
Did know that. I didn't remember it until you just said it, but I did know that. I love Katy too, man. Roar was the number one single in the country when my son was born. And
it's great.
And that was special to me because of that. But I love her, man. Teenage Dream is just a freaking banger for all times, cover to cover. I mean, just it'll be hard for actually my top five not to be all from that album just because I loved it so much when it came out. But yeah, no, she's awesome. Hey, let's do that in the future. I got no problem with that. I love Katy Perry. Let's do that.
Cool.
So until then, Caitlin, thank you so much. That was our top five Taylor Swift songs. Guys, all of our information is in the show notes. Please visit our Patreon, check us out, and give us some love over on social media. Caitlin, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next time.
best days with you.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.